Well, you know, we've been doing a series entitled What the Preacher Won't Tell You. And so far, we've looked at 7 of the 8 topics. The first one, what the preacher won't tell you about the origin of the book of Daniel. What the preacher won't tell you about the foundation of the book of Daniel. What the preacher won't tell you about the Antichrist of the book of Daniel. What the preacher won't tell you about the second witness of the book of Daniel. What the preacher won't tell you about the hero of the book of Daniel. What the preacher won't tell you about Michael of the book of Daniel. And finally, not finally, but last week, about the warning of the book of Daniel. Now, we've been looking at this because there is a multitude of different ideas on interpretation of prophecy. And many people are getting and are very confused about what the books of Daniel and Revelation really see. And there's one basic reason for that. And as you will see in our final part this morning, we are going to look at what the preacher won't tell you about the relationship of the book of Daniel. Folks, the problem is we as a Christian community must learn to let the Bible interpret itself. So as we look at part 8 about the relationship of the book of Daniel, I invite you to bow your heads with me as I pray. Oh, Father in heaven, you've been so good to us to share this series. The information has been informative but exciting. But now we feel a sense of urgency that others know this too, for they are certainly hearing other opinions, ideas, and stories. So, Lord, I ask for the peace of heaven to rest on this congregation, that you would make us attentive to this 8th and last part of the series, that we would see the relationship of the book of Daniel and what it means for our salvation. Lord, use me in spite of me. I want to be a blessing. So reveal yourself, so when it's all said and done, we will know that we have heard Jesus and seen Jesus. In his glorious name we pray. Amen. And so I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Daniel, the 12th chapter. Everyone, open your Bibles to Daniel 12. Children, open your Bibles. I want you to follow along as we read this. Notice this is the last chapter of the book of Daniel, and we're looking for how the Bible, or this important issue, the Bible interprets itself, and about the relationship of the book of Daniel. Okay, you have Daniel, the 12th chapter. We're going to start with verse 5, which is actually the conclusion of 10 and 11 and the first part of 12. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these things be? And then I heard the man clothed in the linen which was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half a time, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. And then I said, but my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said to me, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So notice here that Daniel has a vision at the end of chapter 11. And by the way, chapter 11 was a presentation given to Daniel by Gabriel himself. And now he suddenly sees two angels on either side of the river and a man clothed in linen above the water. So we want to know, who is this person? And how is it important to us today? So let's take a close look at the behavior of the one clothed in linen who is above the water. First of all, he was above the water. And in some of your Bibles, it will say upon the water, but it means that he was not on the shore like the other two beings that Daniel saw in this vision. He was above the water. And then notice also that he held up his right hand and his left hand towards heaven. Remember these. And then he swore by him who lives forever. And then he said to Daniel, go your way, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. By the way, this is the second time in the last chapter in which Daniel was told that this book, that he, the prophecies he wrote would be sealed until the time of the end. So who is this person who is clothed in linen above the water? Well, I invite you to go to chapter 10 of the book of Revelation. In order to answer that question and get to the relationship, I want you to go to Revelation 10. And I want you to notice here, I'll give you a clue right away, the similarities between chapter 12 of Daniel and chapter 10 of the book of Revelation. So turn with me. Last book of the Bible, the 10th chapter. The last book of the Bible, the 10th chapter, we're going to start at verse number 1. And notice now what John writes to us. John says, and I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, his feet like a pillar of fire, and he had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. So boys and girls and my friends, take a look at that picture on the screen and you'll clearly see a depiction of this mighty angel who came down. And so we'll take a look at the elements again. And we'll see, first of all, a mighty angel from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow on his head, his face like the sun, his feet like the pillars of fire. He set his right foot on the sea, his left foot on the land, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. So we can ask the same question, who is this person? All right, before you answer that, and I think you already know, but for some reason you're a little bit hesitant, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Daniel, the 10th chapter. Go to Daniel 10, back to Daniel, but not 12 this time, Daniel 10. And boys and girls, I want you to do this because I want you to see the comparison here. Remember, let the Bible interpret itself. So Daniel 10. Now remember, Daniel 10, 11, and 12 are all one prophecy. And by the way, the bulk of it, this is one of the most major prophecies in the whole book. Chapter 11 is a dictation to Daniel from Gabriel himself. But before Gabriel does that in chapter 11, look at what happened here in chapter 10 of Daniel. You got it? Okay, 5 and 6. I think you're all right. Maybe I'll read 4. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris. I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, I saw a certain man in linen, clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of the words like the voice of a multitude. And so, Daniel was praying, and this person appeared to him in answer to his prayer. Now notice, he was clothed with linen. He had a golden girdle, or girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, arms and feet burnished bronze, and his voice was like the voice of a multitude. Have you seen any of these descriptive elements before? Very interesting. As a matter of fact, some of those are exactly the same. So what would we conclude from this? Same person. Yeah, same person. Okay, now just hold tight. We're almost getting there now. I don't want to tire you out. But let's turn to Revelation, the first chapter. Go to Revelation, the very first chapter. You know, have any of you ever wondered that King James, or even New King James verse in Isaiah says, here a little, there a little? Okay? Here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Let's take a look at Revelation, the first chapter. Do you have it? Okay, verse 13. Now remember, this is the introduction to the book of Revelation, and John hears something, and we're told he turns to look. Notice verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a linen down to his feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Have you heard that before? So there they are. Only notice, every time, by the way, we look somewhere else in the Bible, we get additional information. But there are contact points that we cannot ignore. In other words, in all three of the places we looked, and we're doing this to try to figure out who that was in Revelation, the 12th chapter, we see similarities that cannot be denied, which tell us clearly it must be the same person, but we get additional information. And here in Revelation, sews it up for me, he's the Son of Man. He has a garment down to his feet with a golden band around his waist. By the way, do you understand that that is a description of the high priest on the Day of Atonement? He took off all his beautiful, ornate outer garments, and all he had on was his golden, or his white linen turban, that on it had the place Holiness to God written, and his white robe down to his feet, and a golden girdle around his waist before he went into the most holy place. He took all the ornate stuff off. See, folks, that's because nothing external on us commends us towards God, so why should we have it? When we go in his presence, we better go humbly and simply. Well, that's another story. And so we want to know Who is this person? Well, let's go to Revelation, the 10th chapter. And let's take a look at what this person that seems to be like the same one in Daniel 10 and also seems to be the same one in Revelation 1. Let's see what this person does when his mighty angel comes down. So go to Revelation, the 10th chapter. Giving your fingers a workout, but we're almost done. You got it? Come on, I hope you're following. I hope you got your Bibles. I hope as you listen, reading yourself and get these beautiful elements that we are taught. Notice verse 8. Notice what it says. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me, John, again saying, John, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and the earth. And I went to the angel and said to him, give me the book. And he said to me, take and eat. It will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. And so notice this. Oh, I did skip something, didn't I? Shame on me. Hey, since you're already there, look at verse 5 of the same chapter, Revelation 10. Let's put this in the right order here. See, I got so excited. Look what the angel did. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and all the things that are in it, and the earth and all the things that are in it, and the sea and all the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. Ah, where have we heard that before? And so this mighty angel we were introduced to, in which was described to us exactly as the same person in Daniel 10, and exactly the same person in Revelation 1, now does the same thing the person did in Revelation, the 12th chapter. He was standing on the sea and the land. And remember, in chapter 12, it says he was above the water or upon the water. There's only one person I know who ever walked on water. Well, besides Peter for a short period of time. Right? And he raises his hand and swears by him who lives forever and ever. But in this case, it also says, who was the creator of heaven and earth and the sea? And he says that there should be delay no longer. Whoa. And so in Daniel 10, oh yes. And so that brings us back to the mighty angel, and he was told to take the book by a voice from heaven, to eat the book, and that it would make his stomach bitter, but it'd be sweet in his mouth. And he took the little book out of the hand of the angel, and he ate it. Now, I put Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter there, verse 1 and 2. Did you ever wonder what it meant by eat it? Have you ever eaten a book, by the way? I've eaten from a book, like Karen's cookbook, but I've never eaten a cookbook. And notice, there was a scroll in the hand of this mighty angel that was open, and he said, I want you to eat it. Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter, answers it very clearly for us. Here's what it says. It says, moreover, he said to me, this is to Ezekiel, son of man, and here they called Ezekiel, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat the scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate it and it was in my mouth sweet like honey. And then he said, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. The scroll, when we're told to eat it, it means read it, learn it, and then go and what? Preach it. So let's put all these facts together. And I know it's a lot, but first of all, in Daniel 10, we saw the man in Daniel 10 and Daniel 12. We saw the man above the water in Revelation 1. We saw the man who is amongst the candlesticks in Revelation 10. We saw the mighty angel who came down with an open book in his hand and put his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. Who is this person? It's Jesus in all four cases. All four cases, it's Jesus. And so, what is this all about? What is the open little book in the mighty angel's hand? Come on, has only one person got it? It's on the screen. The book of Daniel. Do you understand? I checked many sources, old and new, and none except the obvious ones even say that the little book is anything except a little book they were supposed to read about information that they needed. No one said the book of Daniel. And this is very significant to me because the book of Daniel was closed and sealed in the book of Daniel, and now we find it opened in the book of Revelation. And so God is teaching us a tremendous lesson that many people will not hear because their preacher won't tell them because he doesn't know that in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, God is giving us a vision of the time period in which the book of Daniel would be open, and the rest of the book of Revelation follows chapter 10, chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. And God is shaking us up to understand, as we near the close of this world's history, the prophecies recorded by Daniel demands our special attention as they relate to the very time in which we are living. With them should be linked the teachings of the book of Revelation. The preacher won't tell you because many of them do not see the relationship between the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. Do you understand that by the prophetic view that we received of the little book being opened by John is telling us you cannot understand the book of Revelation without the book of Daniel. Amen? Impossible. And that's why so many arrive at erroneous conclusions about prophecy, especially in the book of Revelation. And so God told us graphically that that little book was finally open. You know, I when I looked at all these interpreters and all these commentaries, I mean, I did it for an elementary reason. I wanted to see if any of them saw this, and none of them saw this. And God is making it very plain to us the relationship between Daniel and Revelation is inseparable. And if we want to understand the last days, we have to study both books together. Thus, we had the series in which you saw 8 parts, including the origin of the book of Daniel, the foundation of the book of Daniel, the Antichrist of the book of Daniel, and on and on and on, so that we are now ready to study the book of Revelation. And I have a 9-part series to follow this after our evangelism is over. On the book of Revelation. And so, my friends, I want to tell you, what the preacher won't tell you is the book of Daniel unveils the book of Revelation. And you can't understand Daniel unless you study or know Daniel. God has made it very plain. Let me illustrate this in an interesting way. Does anybody know what that is? Take a look at that. What is that? I'll tell you, it's a stone. Okay? Anybody know the name of that stone? Ah, yes. The Rosetta Stone. Listen to this. In 1799, during Napoleon Bonaparte's Egyptian campaign, a French soldier discovered a black basalt slab inscribed with ancient writing near the town of Rosetta, about 35 miles north of Alexandria in Egypt. The irregular-shaped stone contained fragments of passages written with three different scripts. And so I picked the picture and everything so that you could see. The top was Egyptian hieroglyphics. The middle was Egyptian Demotic. And then the bottom was ancient Greece. The ancient Greek of the Rosetta Stone told archaeologists that it was inscribed by a priest honoring King of Egypt, Ptolemy V of the 2nd century B.C. Why? Because they understood ancient Greek. And so they took this stone, and by the way, it ended up in the British Museum because the British then came and conquered the French down in Egypt, and they took the stone. It's in the British Museum today. Some of you here have been there and seen it. So what's the big deal? Folks, the top part of this stone is Egyptian hieroglyphics. No one knew how to read it and interpret it for 2,000 years. The history of Egypt was locked in figures and signs that were a puzzle to the world. But for years of study, they discovered these three different inscriptions written in three different scripts were the same story, and slowly but surely, they figured out Egypt, the Egyptian hieroglyphics, and it opened to the world the history of Egypt. And that is what the book of Revelation, or the book of Daniel, does for us with the book of Revelation. It opens to us an understanding that many people do not have because their preacher doesn't know, and therefore he does not tell them. And so what do I want us to do? I want us to avail ourselves to every opportunity we can to participate in the programs this church sponsors, including seminars on the book of Daniel, on the book of Revelation, including Anthony's presentations that will be coming up in a couple weeks, so that we can fill our minds with the truths of the Bible. And God in the Holy Spirit will unlock the mysteries that have puzzled people and confused the Christians to this very day. By the grace of God, may we participate to the fullest so that we can reach out to our brothers and sisters out there and some in here who just don't understand. Why? Because the Lord's a coming in a few days. And we want to be ready. Father, I want to thank you for the sermon of the hour, for the challenge to all of us. Let no one be fearful, anxious, but instead, Lord, our resolve to turn to you and say, Lord, sounds like more than I can handle, but with the Holy Spirit, I can do anything. So help us, Lord, to seek and pray for the Holy Spirit. And in this way, we will know and we can help others know. May decisions be made right now, Lord, before every person exits this sanctuary. And may they step up to the plate and participate in the programs so we can assist others to know what we know and they don't. So blessed to this end, and thank you for giving us the privilege and opportunity to know this and to share this. And we pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.